Hey guys, this is Nicole Bean from NicoleOnTheNet.com, and I am here with another awesome success cast talking with one of my friends who is an online success, and she knows all kinds of stuff. She's super smart, somebody that I've met in person a few times, but this will probably be the longest we've actually sat and talked, even though I've known her for years. And the person who you have the pleasure of getting to know today is Karen Thaxton. And Karen, here, let me read her little bio here. Karen Thaxton is president of Marketing Words, a full-service copywriting agency specializing in conversion-oriented search engine copywriting. And there's all kinds of other stuff here. She's got all kinds of success. But the big thing that Karen really opened my eyes to was how copywriting is important to please the search engines just as important as it is to, you know, touch on all of the other areas of typical copywriting so you can have the two work together. I'll let her talk about that some, but just wanted to introduce her. So, guys, it is my pleasure to introduce you to Karen Thaxton.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Karen.
How are you?
Well, instead of me telling them all about you, why don't we go ahead and have you tell us about your business and how it got started?
Okay. Let's see. 1999. Well, back up. 1998. My husband and I decided that it was time to start the family. And I did not want to be working in a quote-unquote day job. I wanted to find some way to work from home, and went round and round. Of course, started out the way that a lot of other people start out. Actually answered an ad for one of these stupid envelope stuffing things and all kinds of other stuff, and realized, you know, I'm not going to make any money this way. There has to be another way to do it. So started looking into the internet, which at that point was brand new, and thought, I really don't think this is going to fly. I don't think this will be around too long. So didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it at first, but managed to, while I was still at the business I was working for, managed to actually go to some classes and some workshops on how to design websites, which is when I found out that I am graphically challenged. But it was really interesting to me. You should have seen what I created, Nicole. It was pretty pitiful. But found out that maybe this internet thing was pretty viable after all. And then as it started to take off, I got more and more interested and took my marketing expertise and decided I was going online. I was going to give this a shot. And if it didn't work out, I'd just find another real job and go back to work, and never looked back since. It's been quite a ride for, what does that make it, if it's 1999, 14 years?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Never ended up having the children. That part didn't work out too well at all, but I did birth a business, and it's been growing and prospering, so.
I thought when I first was introduced to the internet, I thought the same thing. Oh, this will never fly. It's just a fad. All these crazy people in these weird chat rooms and things.
Well, I didn't understand it at first. I mean, the guy that owned the company that I worked for said, well, go and just get online and play with it. See where you can go and what you can do. Well, I got online. And I'm just sitting there going, okay, now what? What do I do with this thing? So it was different back in the day.
I used to be terrified of computers. My husband still teases me of that. I was like, I will write my papers for school on them, but that is it.
and the world turns.
It sure does. So why did you choose, you kind of explained this, but why did you choose this type of business, and why did you choose to focus on copywriting?
Well, I have always been in love with advertising. And do you know who the Frito Bandito is?
Oh, no.
You don't? Okay. Well, there used to be this little cartoon character that was the spokesperson for Frito's corn chips. And I'm probably dating myself and showing my age, but when I was a little girl, I would look at my mother when she would say, what do you want to do when you grow up? I would point to the TV on Saturday mornings when the Frito Bandito was on TV, and I would tell my mother, I want to do that. I thought I wanted to be the Frito Bandito. And she didn't understand that even at 6, 7 years old, I wanted to make commercials. I wanted to be an advertiser. It's all I've ever wanted to do. So it just grew from there. And when I decided to try to do something online, I wanted to focus on the part of marketing and advertising that I loved the most, and that was copywriting. So that's what we did.
Now, you are abnormal in that way, you know. Most people don't think of copywriting as sexy. So tell me why you think copywriting is sexy.
Because it has such an impact on everything. You can, I mean, even if it's video, people say, well, if I'm going to put a video on my website, I don't need copy. Yes, you do. You need to write whatever it is that the person in the video is going to say, or you need to develop the script. If it's an animated video, you know, you have to have a plan for what a narrator is going to say. If you're going to have written text on a website, even partially in combination with a video or other things, this is what's communicating with your customers. And I won't go so far to say that it's the only way that you can communicate with your customers, because, of course, visual images and colors and all this other thing has an impact, but not nearly as much as words. And what is absolutely fascinating to me is that you can change a few words and get huge impact, that you can understand more about your target customers than you did before you went to a webinar, or you bought a course, or you got some coaching, or whatever type of actual training you got. And then after you understand who these people are, it will radically change not only how you write the copy, but the response that you get from the copy. It's just, it's the key that everybody overlooks. I think in a way, excuse me just 1 second. I had a frog in my throat. In a way, I think it's a little bit like public speaking. Some people are just afraid of it. They don't think they'll be any good at it and whatnot. And usually that's because nobody has taught them the right way to do it. Most people will sit down, lay fingers to keyboard, and just start babbling off what they want to tell somebody that comes to their website. But you never create a website about your company. You already know all about your company. You're creating a website for your customers. So when you get to know them, you understand how to put the bits and pieces together, and you're writing for them. The entire site is for them and not about you. Wonderful things happen, and that's sexy.
I love it when I can get my guests to use the word sexy or snot, so we are halfway there.
Yeah, and not only is it sexy, it's extremely profitable, too.
Yeah, that's, and I would like to just back up a little bit for the people that aren't as familiar with the term copy.
Yeah.
Because I can see copy being used everywhere. I mean, on, even just talking about the internet, I mean, infographics. The infographics that get shared the most have good copy. They have the words on them, inspire, educate, motivate. They make people feel things. And once you get people to feel things, then magic happens. Also, in blog posts, a lot of people don't understand that their call to action has to have a plan as well. You write this great blog post, and at the end, you want people to do something. You want them to have that next step. And that's your copy. Your call to action is telling them what you should do next, whether it's share, comment, buy something, go sign up for something. All of that's copy. So copy really does apply in every area of your business, every single area.
Yeah. And people sometimes get confused between copy and content. Content is generally informational. Copy is what comes in and is persuasive in one way or another. And yes, you can have both. Like Nicole was just saying, you have a blog post that is content, that is informational, but then at the bottom, that call to action is persuasive. So that's the copy part of it. But you can, it's everywhere. Even on e-commerce sites that don't have a whole lot of text about the product, that little button over in the corner that says add to cart or buy now or whatever it says, that's button copy. And even that can have a huge impact on your sales.
Well, like even the color of it, whether it's red or green. Green means go in a lot of instances.
Absolutely.
So, Karen, let me let everybody know. I'll do my call to action right now. You're listening to Nicole Dean from NicoleOnTheNet.com, Online Success Cast with Karen Paxton. And if you would like to learn more about Karen, go to UncoveringExperts.com/Karen, and it's K-A-R-O-N. All right, Karen, that's great. So the next question on here is, what are the top three things that you've done personally to grow your online business? A lot of people, there's too much out there. And, of course, everybody's three things can be completely different. But I like to explain that my three things and your three things may not be the same, but just to be able to see a model that shows them what worked.
Mm-hmm. Adding products. I started out as a service-based business exclusively in 99 when I launched Marketing Words, and all we did was different types of copy, the website copy, search engine copy, you know, e-commerce copy, PPC, whatever it may be. And in 2002, I think it was, I created the step-by-step copywriting course, which is my flagship product. And it has since that time been through 6 revisions. I have been very diligent about keeping it up to date and added 1 or 2 others, and then got approached by WordTracker to write several books, not at the same time, but over the course of some years. WordTracker brought me on board and commissioned me to write a few books for them, and have had some other offers as well to do products and whatnot. But that gives you... It starts you down the track, if you haven't already created products, to an automated or at least a semi-passive form of income. So you're not entirely dependent on your service base and having to put your hands in the pot and use your time to bring in money. I've never been one that charged an hourly rate for most things. Something, you know, if it's consulting or coaching or whatever, depending on the circumstances, sometimes I'll do that. But usually when we bid out a project, it's a project based. So we're not trading time for dollars. But anytime you're doing services, it still takes your time and your attention. So adding the product sector started me down this path of creating a funnel where sales would come in, and this starts your, you know, 24 hours a day. While you're sleeping, you're making money. While you're dreaming, and all the things that you hear about, which is actually true. When you set it up properly, these things do happen. So we did really well, but when the products were added, that gave a little bit of a supplemental income, if you will. At first, I really didn't pay that much attention to the products. But they were helpful a little bit, more so than they were. The second thing probably I would say was I got serious about affiliate marketing. I was one that would casually mention that I liked a product, or I tried a product, or I was going to a seminar or conference, and if somebody wanted to come, here was the link and blah, blah, blah. But there was no strategy to it. There wasn't a plan. And obviously, as you well know, Nicole, you don't make a whole lot of money that way. So when I decided that I wanted this to actually contribute seriously to the revenue of Marketing Words, then I decided to take some action that I had not taken before. And that was simply being strategic about the affiliate programs I signed up for, ones that not only I would benefit from, because I like the product or the service or what have you, but that would also offer some value to the people on my list. And the third one would be, I'm going to say, personal networking. I have never been a huge one to go to conferences and hang out and meet people and small talk and chit chat and whatever. I do a whole lot better. I guess I'm mostly an introvert at heart. I mean, if I'm behind a microphone on a Skype screen and I don't, you know, and I'm not sitting one-on-one with somebody that I just met 30 seconds ago, I do way better than if I'm trying to do small talk in person. I just sort of freeze. I'm not sure what to say. I can stand up on a stage and present at a conference to thousands of people. It doesn't bother me a bit. And my husband's just the opposite. You make him stand up and do public speaking, he's liable to have a coronary. But he will sit there one-on-one and chit-chat with somebody he's never met for hours. And it just, that's not in my DNA. I don't do that very well. But going out and actually taking the time to meet people, you just can't build the kinds of relationships online that you can build when you get to know people. So as unnerving as it has been at certain points, just because of my inherent personality, I did manage to get myself out there and do some work and networking, and it pays off in droves. Not even if you discount the business advantages to it, I have just met some really great people.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me go back and summarize what you just said, because I think it's really good stuff. So the top three things that you've done to grow your online business, the first one was transitioning from just having services to adding your own info products and starting to build your passive income that way.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was being more intentional about your affiliate marketing, coming up with a plan, again, to develop more passive income.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is you started to network more one-on-one. And I think that also helps with your passive income, too, because my top affiliates are all people that I've met in person.
Yeah.
And across the board, every time I launch a new product, the people that are on the top of the affiliate stats are always people that I've met in person.
Right.
There's a few exceptions, but for the most part, those are the people I can go to and say, I have this new product. Do you want to check it out? See if it might be a good fit for your list. They know me. They like me, hopefully, and they trust me because we've met in person at places like NAMS where Karen, you and I think, yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
where we met.
Yep.
We haven't met anywhere else. I lose track because I travel more, you know, so, but how many of the NAMs have you gone to, Karen?
I think I started with NAMs 3, so what do we hit? We're getting ready to do 10 in August, so that'll be my 7th.
Okay, and my first one was NAMs 2, so we've seen each other at most of them then.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fabulous. I love the way you outline that because it really is. And the other thing you mentioned was paying more attention to your sales funnel. And I think that, again, helps you so much with your passive income. If you know exactly what your leads are going to experience and your customers are going to experience from the moment they meet you until they get, you know, to your highest end product, that if you have that mapped out, that can make a huge difference in
yeah.
your business as well.
Exactly.
The next question is about tools. What are the three tools that you use in your business that you can't live without? And what I like to do here is to talk about three free tools and then three premium or paid tools that you use personally in your business.
Okay. Free ones, Facebook has proven to be absolutely invaluable to me. I am able to meet people. I am able to build relationships with people through Facebook. You know, a friend of a friend will make a comment on something that's up on the Marketing Words page or on another page that I have on Facebook. And all of a sudden we strike up a conversation. And before you know it, they're saying, oh, you know, I need to have this brochure done, or I need a PDF created for this, that, or the other thing. Do you guys do that? Yeah, we sure do. So you're bringing on a new client just from a little introduction on a post that you made. It also gives me a good way to exchange information and ideas, because you can create little groups within Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to do that as well. The second freebie would be PayPal. I use Digital Access Pass as the software that runs the back end on the copywriting course and some other products that I have, and it integrates with PayPal. Everything integrates with PayPal. And especially for smaller companies or individual solopreneurs and whatnot, the fees are way less than you would pay if you got your own merchant account. I used to have my own merchant account and dropped it a few years ago because the fees just got absolutely outrageous. And it's really easy to use. Almost everybody takes it now. So there's, you know, it gives you a way to accept credit cards and accept email payments right away. And the third would be WordPress. Just the standard blogging software from WordPress. Not, you know, you can get all sorts of themes to go on it that are free and whatnot, and there are some paid ones too. But that, again, with all the plugins that are available and whatnot, you've got a lot of ways to build relationships through a blog with commenting, with social sharing and whatnot, and it doesn't cost you a cent to put that up. So those are probably the ones that I use every single day.
And I would have to agree. I use all of those as well every day. On Facebook, do you tend to stay on your pages, or do you use your profile for networking as well?
I use my profile for some networking. Most of that is just me. I mean, if I'm doing a webinar with somebody or I've got something cool business related, I'm launching a product or whatever, I'll mention those things. But, you know, most of it is just me and my life. I don't tend to do a whole lot. On the Marketing Words page, what I usually do, there's other things on there too, but I'll go through my to-read box that I put all these articles that I get and pages that I go to throughout the week. And once a week, I sit down and I have reading time. And as I'm reading, you know, I'm deleting the articles that aren't worth a poo. And the ones that I found that are great, I put links to them on the Marketing Words Facebook page so I can share them with everybody else.
Very cool.
Yeah. So there, you know, whoever wants to is able to read everything that I've read and found valuable, and they can get, you know, the same information and the same types of things that I've been doing. So I like to do it that way. I will skip around and post to other people and whatnot too, so I'm not exclusively on my own pages.
Mm-hmm. Me too. What about your paid tools? What are your three paid tools that you use in your own business?
Every single day I'm doing something on Hootsuite and I'm doing something on AWeber. And for those that may not know, Hootsuite is software, online software that lets you schedule and broadcast tweets and Facebook posts, and you can put them on practically any social network, LinkedIn, Google+, whatever it is that you're into. And because you can schedule them, you can get them out obviously 24 hours a day where you wouldn't be able to do that otherwise. I have a lot of people that follow me from the UK, so I need to have posts available for them and things of interest to them at 3:00 in the morning my time and 4:00 in the morning my time, and I'm not getting up that early.
You love your UK people. Not enough to wake up at 4:00 in the morning.
And then I have a lot of people that follow me from Australia, so you have the opposite problem. I don't want to stay up till midnight, and you know, you just never go to bed if you didn't have something to schedule those. It's really easy. I'm a big non-technical person, so it has to be easy to set up and use. AWeber is super awesome. That's what I use for my newsletters and sending out broadcast emails. I use it for follow-up emails, you know, for an autoresponder series. If I'm doing trials or when people buy a product, they'll get updated information and whatnot. You just plug it in and away you go. You can even link AWeber to your blog and have it do automated blog broadcasts if you want to. So that's a biggie. And I don't use GoToWebinar every day, but it is my choice when I do webinars for other people. Because, again, it's easy to use. There are things about it that I don't like, but I could say that about any product that I've ever tried. And it's relatively affordable when you look at the grand scheme of things, what you get for your money and whatnot. So those are probably the ones that I use the most.
I definitely agree. AWeber I use every day in my business as my main autoresponder. And GoToWebinar is just, it's the industry standard for webinars.
Yep.
It just is. And like you said, there are functions in everything that nothing is perfect, but it's as good as you can get.
So I've tried, I don't care for WebEx. I've tried that before. I've used it from being the presenter on somebody else's WebEx bridge and from being in control of the whole thing myself, and it just, it's difficult, in my opinion. And then, I don't remember what it was about Adobe. Adobe Connect is another one, and there were a couple of little things when I did a trial on that that I really did not care for, and I don't remember now what they were. So I just stuck with GoToWebinar. I never left.
And it's tried and true. It's solid.
Yep.
All right. Well, what about screw-ups? One of the things people think is, oh, yeah, sure, Karen, you're so successful. You're doing so well. But look at you. You're smart. You understand copy. You're a hard worker. You know, what about the rest of us? So this is a point in the call where I like to talk about mistakes. What's a mistake that you've made over the years that you've learned from?
When I saw this question, my first reaction was, wait 24 hours before you reply to an email that made you mad. And I said, no, that's probably not what she wants to talk about. So that's a good lesson to learn.
That's definitely a good lesson. Anytime you've got an email that makes you mad, wait 24 hours before you respond, or type your response but don't send it, and then reread it the next day.
That's exactly right.
And along the same lines, the delete button is a beautiful thing. Sometimes if somebody sends an email and they're not even a customer, I really don't care, and I'm not going to bother justifying myself to somebody that just has a bone to pick when they're not my target market. So, you know, my help desk knows to jump through hoops and do everything we can to make customers happy. But if somebody's just complaining and they're not a customer and they really are just mean, then delete the email, delete them out of our system so they never get bothered by us again, and just let it go. Everybody isn't going to be a good fit for me, just like everybody isn't going to be a good fit for you. And, I mean, it took me a long time because I'm a people pleaser. I just want to make everybody happy. You know, I'm a nurturer. I want to make everybody happy. I want to soothe the ruffled feathers. And some people just lash out, and they just really have absolutely no right to do so, because just because you have an opinion doesn't mean you always need to share it.
Well, and you're right. I mean, and this is actually not the mistake that I had in mind, but I had to share that with you, because as soon as I saw that question, that's what flew up in my mind. But some people just, for some reason, since it's an online environment, they think they have the right to stomp all over everybody's feelings. And it's probably things that they would never say to somebody face to face.
No.
But they're hiding behind a keyboard and a computer, so I learned that lesson a long time ago. But the one that I decided I really wanted to talk about was, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Agreed.
Big mistake that I made early on, and it turned around and bit me in the butt is what it did, because I had everything riding on a couple of clients, and I got lazy with the services side business. I was not actively pursuing copywriting work. So me and my writers were just sort of hanging out one day and realized, you know, things have been very slow, and I wonder why that is. Come to find out, two of the biggest clients that we had internal issues. The company got sold on one of them, and the other one was having some financial trouble, and both of them had decided they were going to bring their copywriting projects in-house. Oops. Okay.
That's not good.
Now what do we do? So that's when you put your running shoes on and, you know, you get off your butt and start hustling and try to bring in some more clients. But the same could be said when you're talking about affiliate marketing and passive income funnels. The people that built entire businesses with Amazon stores in Colorado, only to have Amazon turn around a couple of years later and say, we're not having any more affiliates in Colorado because of state law changes. Oops. you know, okay, there went your whole business down the toilet. So I would advise that you not hang everything on something that's controllable by somebody else. If you build a part of your affiliate marketing business on Amazon or what have you, that's fine. But if Amazon, if your state passes laws like Colorado, and I've forgotten the other, maybe it was North Carolina.
I think New York, too.
New York, there's been five or six.
Yeah, there's been several that Amazon has shut them off because of their new laws.
Right. And so if Amazon does that in your state, you know, they pass laws, you know, that pertain to affiliate marketing commissions and whatnot that Amazon is unwilling to abide by, then it may be a punch in the stomach, but it's not going to cut your head off. Your whole business
right.
won't die because of it. So diversification is huge. I learned that lesson early on, and I learned it well.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And actually, you had two big lessons in there in that second part. One of the things you said with your clients and not putting all of your eggs in one basket, it reminded me of a lesson, which is to get new leads every day.
Yeah.
Always be focusing on getting new people into your funnels every day, whether you're a service provider and their potential clients, whether you're an info product seller, whether you're an affiliate marketer, you have to be getting new leads every single day, because that's the only way you can grow your business and even sustain your business is by getting new people into those funnels.
Right.
And I absolutely agree as far as diversification. Diversification is a huge, huge, such an important thing to me in my business as well, because with my own products, with affiliate marketing, I can't put, I've seen people, like you said, with Amazon, I can't build an entire business around someone else's products, promoting them, because if they decide to change shopping carts or cancel their affiliate program, then that entire stream of income would be gone, and
right.
I can't risk that for my family. But I can have several affiliate programs that I feel strongly about that I can recommend and have that diversified out. So I absolutely agree 100% with you there as well. What about a tipping point? People oftentimes wonder, you know, did you struggle for a while and then something changed that just made things make sense or helped you to grow your business quickly? And if so, what was that?
In the beginning, I really didn't struggle. And that's not what anybody wants to hear. Everybody loves the rags to riches story. But it everything fell into place. From 1999 until 2007, we had enormous growth every year. Huge numbers. And not little tiny increases every 12 months, but we were, you know, leaping up the ladder there, and life was lovely. And I got a little bit spoiled, because I really, up until that point, had not had to work very hard for leads, didn't have to put out bids on projects, none of that stuff. As far as the services side of the business goes, it was all just flowing in. And then the recession started to kick in. Well, for those of you that may be involved in advertising and marketing, you know, when times get tough and dollars are having to be stretched, almost always one of the first things that gets cut are advertising and marketing, which is so strange, because this is the time where you actually need to really pay close attention to your advertising and marketing. But everybody thinks they're just going to do this stuff in-house. And at first, it was a little 10% decrease, and then, you know, 12% decrease, and it started dwindling. And we had gotten up very quickly. You know, my personal income was multiple six figures at this point, and it was taking a nosedive. And I thought, oh, crap, now what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned earlier that I added the product, and that was something that helped grow the business, but I really didn't do much with them at first. I stuck them up online. I optimized the site for the search engines. And you know, sales for the copywriting course and some of the other products would come in, you know, a couple a day and whatnot. They're just sort of trickling here and there. And I just didn't do anything with it. Never promoted it. Never did a webinar. Didn't write very many articles that I put out and, you know, to bring people back to the site. When I was looking for a way to get through this recession, it dawned on me, hey, stupid, you know, this thing's selling fairly well and you're not doing anything with it. You know, if you actually put some effort into this and threw a few dollars at it to run some ads and whatever, you might actually earn some money.
You know, you're not the only info product seller I know that has made that mistake. Most of them do that. They create an info product and then go, there, I'm done.
Yeah.
It's like, and with my coaching clients, I was going, no, you've just begun, because now you have an info product that you get to market and actually make money from. You're not done. That's the beginning.
Oh, and see, it's the same thing. And as I said, you know, I didn't get to NAMS until, I want to say it was 2009. I went in January. So I think it was my first one was in January. But anyway, so this is even before I got that education. And that's what you think. That's the one of the big myths out there about online marketing that so many people get frustrated with and say, this is just the biggest scam ever. It doesn't work. And they leave forever. No, it's just because you've been told part of the truth. This is why David Perdue and I, the developer of NAMS, the organizer of NAMS, laugh our butts off at the term passive income, because creating passive income is exhausting.
It is.
You put it in the flow and it works for you 24/7, but getting that funnel set up, creating the product, getting everything in line, promoting it, getting some legs to it so it can get up and walk, can be exhausting sometimes. So here goes my light bulb, and I thought, Doofus, you've really got this gold mine sitting right here. You've got these products that are created and you just need to do something with them. So my tipping point actually came 8 years after I started my business, when I started getting serious about the products I'd created, about creating more products, and about paying attention and creating a strategy for affiliate marketing. And that passive income, ha ha ha, is what turned marketing words around and allowed us to survive. If I had not done something with that, I don't know that we would be making a whole lot of money today at all, because it was just, there's only so much you can do until you get to the point to you're like these people on Elance who are offering to write articles for 50 cents each. You know, it's not going to happen. So that was the light bulb that turned us around. And it's been quite a ride, I tell you.
It sounds like. Well, one of the things I always say in my presentations, and you've probably heard me say this too, because I know you've been in some of my classes at NAMS, is that there are two words in internet marketing, and one of them is marketing, and that's for a reason.
Yes.
Because you have to market all of your funnels, you have to market all of your products, you have to market all of your services, and you have to, if I write a blog post and I hit publish, I don't get up and go and, you know, have my day done. That's the beginning of it. I write my blog post, I hit publish, and then I market the snot out of it. You know, I go and I make sure that that blog post is everywhere. I don't hit publish and go, okay, there, I'm done. It's like, no, okay, now the work begins, the marketing of the internet marketing side of things.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah. There's just so much going on in cyberspace. You can put an article up on your blog, and maybe if people get your RSS feed, which most people don't even know how to do an RSS feed, maybe they'll read it. If you have AWeber or whatever product you use set up the blog broadcast feature, then it goes out via email to your list, and if they're not too busy, they'll read it. Sometimes people will put it in a folder like I do, and they'll read it later on. Sometimes people look at it and they go, oh, man, I'm just having a crazy day. Delete, delete, delete. And they just don't have time for it. So you've got to put it every place else. You know, share it on Facebook. And this is where your Hootsuite comes in, or whatever social sharing software you want to use for that. You know, you schedule it so that it shows up all over the place while you're asleep.
Exactly. You need to be visible everywhere, and that doesn't matter whether it's your blog post, your podcast, your info products like you learned. You can't just have your info products created and then expect people to buy them.
You know, that's one
thing. Market them.
Kind of on a side note, sort of not really a tipping point, but another light bulb that went off was that everybody in the world wasn't on my schedule. And I had some lady from the UK email me, and I don't even remember what this was. It may have been one of the very first webinars that I did. And she said, you know, you're, depending on the time of year, 5 or 6 hours ahead of me. So when you do a webinar at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's 10 p.m. my time, and I'm in the bed. You know, if you do one at 6 p.m. your time, it's midnight. And do you think you could vary the times up so that other people that follow you in the UK might be able to attend these things? Because when we first did them, we didn't do, you know, replays. You were there live or you didn't get them years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, gosh, you idiot. Come on. You have to think globally here. And that's when I started with Hootsuite. And just making the articles that I do and the posts that I put out available in times that other people would find convenient has brought in more business. Because they didn't see it before.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't see it before.
That's awesome. That's great advice.
You got to think globally.
Think globally. People everywhere have PayPal accounts.
Yeah.
I always say, make it easy for people to spend money with you. I mean, it seems very obvious, but you want to make it as easy as possible for people to give you their money if they so choose. Yeah. Okay, well, the next question is, what advice would you give to your own mother or sister or best friend to help them succeed online?
What I discovered in late 07, 08, 09, and that is build a list. I want you to know, this could go back to the mistake question too. I didn't even start building a list until I had been in business 9 or 10 years.
Oh my gosh, Karen.
Well, you would be shocked, Nicole, because I was hanging out with the SEO folks. Most of them do not have lists. To this day, most of them do not have lists.
Wow.
It's just not something that they're taught to do. But I started working on that and started to not just put out content and publish articles and have a newsletter and what have you, but to actually position myself as an authority and a trusted source. And that's something I would tell my sister to do. What is it that you're trying to accomplish with the material you're putting out, with the products you're creating, with the blog posts that you're writing, with the interviews that you're doing? Anybody can write an article, but it's a long process to get people to trust you, especially because there's so much crap out in cyberspace. But when somebody thinks of whatever niche you're in, you want your name to be the first thing that pops into their mind. Oh, I have a question about peanut butter dog biscuits or whatever it is. I need to go to Nicole's blog and find out the answer to my question about peanut butter dog biscuits because she's the expert in that area or whatever it is. So quality is much more important when it comes to building a business than quantity, in my opinion. And when you get started, leverage other people's products until you can begin to create your own. It's so easy if you're in a state that allows for Amazon affiliates, for example, to put up some product reviews or to create some links to Amazon products. And I just use that as an example. There's tons of other ways that you can leverage other people's products and become affiliates for them and do marketing that way just to get a little money under your belt to finance the products that you'll create for yourself later. And then absolutely make plans to build your own products and set up automated funnels so you never let anybody hit a dead end. You always want to have directing them someplace where they can get something else from you, information, a product, whatever it may be. You don't, once you get them in your funnel, you don't want to let them go. And I don't mean that in a spammy way. I mean, keep providing quality information and products that they will appreciate and want.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to remind people that are listening that you're listening to Karen Thaxton, and this is Nicole Dean from NicoleOnTheNet.com. And if you'd like to learn more about Karen, you can go to uncoveringexperts.com/Karen, and it's K-A-R-O-N. And Karen's got a really good deal on her copywriting course that she's going to tell us about in just a few minutes. We have two more questions left that I am excited to ask you about. Karen, if you had to rebuild your business from scratch with no list, no contacts, nothing, how would you rebuild tomorrow if you had less than $100 to do it?
I think the very first thing I would do would be go create a Facebook account. Because for me, at least, that would be the quickest way to begin to network with people. I like Facebook better out of the other social media sites that are out there. Somebody else might prefer Google Plus or what have you. But for me, I'd open a Facebook account and start going through networking, making some friends and what have you. I would definitely set up a WordPress blog, even if I had, I've got $100, so I could start, HostGator for whatever, $10 for the first month or something like that. Don't even have to have an actual domain name. I might save my $12.95 from GoDaddy and just use, host it on WordPress's site or something like that to start with until I could get the own. But I would create content, start writing everything, blog posts, articles. I would create some Kindle books very quickly and put them up on Amazon through the Kindle program, and that would start bringing in some money. I would begin to promote other people's products as I began to make lists, as I began to build my list using Facebook and what have you. And then as the money continued to come in, you can add new tools and new strategies. I might eventually start running some paid ads. Of course, eventually I would sign up for AWeber and start, sending out information that way and start creating my automated funnels so that the work that I was doing would just replicate itself over and over again.
I love it. Excellent. Okay, and before we get to the last question, why don't we go ahead and talk about your copywriting course? You've set up a coupon for $100 off.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys want to check this out, go to uncoveringexperts.com/copy, and you can learn more about Karen's copywriting class. But tell us a little bit about what makes your copywriting class special.
Well, this is, unlike most of the other ones, this is just not walking through one particular type of copy. The step-by-step copywriting course got its name because it literally takes you through all of the steps of writing copy. And while this part is not so sexy, we start by planning. And everybody hates the P word, but you just don't get the same results if you just wheel off and start rambling onto a page of copy or a Word document or what have you, as when you go through and you learn what to look for, what your target customers want to hear, their preferred communication styles, how to develop your own unique competitive advantage to set yourself apart from everybody else in the workplace. And I can tell you, looking over at my bookshelf in my office right now, I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different copywriting courses, 8 different copywriting courses. There's more upstairs in a spare room that we have that we sort of use as a walk-in attic. I have bought a lot of them. And most of them don't give you the foundational element that the step-by-step copywriting course does. They're essentially asking you to fly before you can walk. And because of that, people get really frustrated because they don't understand, you know, all of this stuff is telling them what to do. And sometimes you might be lucky enough that they'll show you how to do it, but not usually. And it ends up with you not making any progress. So going through all of this, it is actually set up as a course. It's video based. So you watch me show you examples of how to do this and how to do the other thing. It's broken down into easy to digest modules. You don't have to carve out an hour or an hour and a half of your schedule to sit down and watch this. You can do it in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever time you have available. But the biggest thing is there's feedback because I have a private Facebook group. So as you're going through each of these video modules and you're learning how to define your target audience, you're discovering what they want from you, you've outlined your unique competitive advantage, and you're starting to actually create copy that is enticing and interesting to your site visitors, you can go over to the Facebook group and say, hey, I don't really understand what you said in Module 6 about this, that, or the other thing. Or does anybody in the group have time to look at my copy and tell me if I'm on the right track? We've got hundreds of people over there. A lot of them are professional copywriters that have also taken the course. A lot of them are just website owners, and they wanted to learn to write the copy themselves. So there's always feedback. There's always somebody to ask a question and give an answer. It's very interactive. It's not sit down and read a book and you're on your own. If you want to communicate with other people and you want to get feedback, it is absolutely available to you.
So what results would someone get who took your copywriting course? What would they end up with at the end?
They would end up with a web page. This is about writing website copy. This is not about writing blog posts. This is not about developing content. This is about writing persuasive copy that is optimized for the search engines. So you will end up with copy that speaks specifically to your particular target customers in their preferred communication style, shows you how to present yourself as the obvious choice for the people that visit your website, and also how to get that site ranked higher on Google and Bing so that you have more qualified people coming into you, building traffic to your site as well. So conversions go up when you do it right. Search engine optimization goes up when you do it right. So more traffic, more people, more sales, everybody's happy.
More money.
More money.
Okay, so if you guys want to check that out, and I recommend you do, if for no other reason than just to study the way Karen does copy, because you should always look at sales pages for people that are teaching copy because their sales pages are good. It's uncoveringexperts.com/copy. And when you go through that, if it's something you need, and I definitely recommend you check it out, then enter coupon code Nicole100. And that's Nicole 100. And Luke apparently is making an entrance here. Can you hear Luke next to me?
It's an endorsement.
It's an endorsement. He's going, yeah, check it out. Lukey Bear, what are you doing? So that's uncoveringexperts.com/copy and enter coupon code Nicole100 when checking out. All right. So your final question, Karen, are you ready to wrap up?
Ready.
All right. What's something that's working in your business that you can share that's working right now? This is the point where, you know, people are like, okay, there's shiny objects and then there's the tried and true stuff. What's working right now in your business?
Webinars. As a matter of fact, I think it's Janice Pettit just did a product and interviewed me and Adam Aransky and some other people about success with webinars. And you will hear from some people that webinars are kind of on their way out. I don't think so. Not if you do them correctly. It's too good of an opportunity for people to watch and learn. And I did some of these early on in my business, and they were kind of okay. They weren't fabulous. But the more I learned how to use that platform and how to leverage the advantages of it, the better I got at doing the webinars and the better the results of the webinars were. We were making more sales. We were bringing in more registrations and all of this stuff that made everything more profitable. And now I wouldn't do without them. I mean, I'm constantly having other people do webinars for my list. I'm doing webinars for other people's lists. It's a fabulous way to not only make sales, but you can build your list because you're being introduced to compatible communities, if you will, from other people. They thought that their people would be interested in what you had to say, so obviously maybe these folks want to get on your list too or subscribe to your blog updates or whatever it may be. So lots and lots of different advantages that come from it, far and above just being on the broadcast itself.
And webinars is one thing that I'm starting to do more of, and I definitely have a lot to learn about it. So who would you recommend I learn from about how to do webinars well?
You could definitely learn from Janice. Like I said, she just created an entire product about how to do them and how to do them well. I'm trying to think who else I've been on that I was really impressed with.
I like Jason Fladlian has a course that I've been looking at that I bought. Have you studied with him at all?
No. I mean, I know who he is, obviously, but
yeah.
I've never.
And Daniel Hall, too. I was on one of his webinars that he taught how to do webinars well, and I really enjoyed that one as well. I was just curious who you were learning from since you're having success with it.
One of the people that I paid attention to, a lot of these I'm going to the MyNAMS.com site.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are members there, they get access to the replays of the deep dive sessions that NAMS has every Wednesday night. Anybody can come free of charge, you know, for the first time, but the replays are only available. And I'll go through the replays and watch some of the ones that are in there. And that has given me a lot of ideas. Lewis Howe is one that I've paid close attention to. I appreciate the way that he does some of his webinars. And Janice Pettit, I've had her do some webinars for my list and like the way that she does it, the elements that she includes, she keeps things interesting. I guess the biggest thing, and Nicole, you would do this anyway without being told, but you have to provide immediately actionable quality material. You cannot get on a webinar and have a big giant pitch fest and expect people to even want to stick around very long, because that's not why they came. They came to learn. They came to walk away with something that was going to change their business. And if you let them down, they won't come back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they should.
Absolutely. Yeah. Time is too precious.
Time is too precious.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Karen. I really appreciate having you on. And guys, if you want to learn more from Karen, and I definitely recommend you do, I know I'm going to be, go to uncoveringexperts.com/Karen, K-A-R-O-N. And Karen's course, if you want to use that coupon, go to uncoveringexperts.com/copy and check out the course and use coupon Nicole100, that's N-I-C-O-L-E, 100. Karen, thank you so much for coming on. I'm glad we finally got to get to know each other a little bit better after having passed each other in the halls at NAMS for years now.
I know. We would always wave and say, you know, we've got to get together for lunch, and then it would never happen.
I know. It's such a crazy weekend. At least I get to hug you every time.
That's right.
Grab you quick, hug you, and go, we'll connect.
We will.
And then, we both head off. So this has been a great opportunity.
I love it. Thanks so much for the invite. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it has. Well, Karen, I got to say, you are a rock star, and I really have learned a thing or two, definitely. I've enjoyed our conversation, and I look forward to connecting again soon. And listeners, you're a rock star too, and thank you so much for sticking with us and listening to the end, and you rock. We'll be back with some more soon. Again, this is Nicole Dean from NicoleOnTheNet.com with my online success talk radio. Thanks for listening.